I have had many relationships in the past, and I have made many compromises in those relationships. Though I grew up in a Christian family, I wasn't really putting into practice the things that I learned in church. My worldly and lustful tendencies would often dictate how I behaved within those relationships, and this has led me to perceive women in a very warped and perverted way.
I grew up without a good example of what godly relationship looks like. My siblings and I have different fathers, and growing up, I thought that was normal. I thought it was okay to have sexual relations with a boyfriend because that's how we show our love for them. What I learned from my younger years was the idea na pag mahal mo, mahal ka, okay na kayo, kahit sinong tumutol, walang dapat humadlang, ipaglaban nyo lahat yan. So I entered into a romantic relationship at an early age of 16, even if that meant disobeying my mom. The idea of honoring God and parents did not weigh much on me.
My desire was to seek and create a meaningful companionship with someone, but the fleshly desire seemed to get in the way. Coming from a Christian family, I began to realize that the end goal of pursuing a romantic relationship with someone is marriage. So I began to try to create a godly relationship. However, a part of me was still insistent on doing things my way rather than God's way. I pursued pre-believer women, and I tried to incorporate Christian practices into the relationship by bringing them to church and even introducing them to D groups in hopes that they would also know Jesus Christ.
Despite of my hard-headedness, my lustful and immoral relationships, God never gave up on me. In August of 2010, after competing in Miss Universe, I was brought by my cousin to CCF and introduced me to his missionary friends. It wasn't one of those Sundays that I understood what Jesus has done for me. Despite my filthiness and sinfulness, Christ died on the cross to pay for the penalty of my sins. Because of his death and resurrection, I can be forgiven of everything that I have done. My newfound love and relationship with Jesus drastically changed my perspective in life and relationships. He impressed upon me a very important conviction, and that is to wait.
After a period of trying, those relationships ended. It came to the point that I finally gave up on trying to control every single moment of the relationship. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, please take control. Let's do it your way na." From then on, my prayer started to change. My motivation to pursue someone was no longer out of fear of missing out, but rather in placing my faith to the Lord, the ultimate matchmaker. I remember praying to the Lord to show me or lead me to the person that I was praying for. Though I had no idea who she would be or how she would look like or where we would meet, I just exercised complete and total surrender to the Lord. In the same way, my father was also praying for me as well. He even asked the Lord in prayer that should the Lord provide me with a life partner, that he may do so in haste and not to delay it. As I was now at peace and settled with my conviction to wait, I directed my attention and focus to serving my family and ministry.
Waiting was never easy for me. It was God's way of pruning me and training me to hear his voice in the midst of this noisy world. There were many days and nights of crying and asking God, "Why am I still single, Lord?" This season of singleness had been magnified, especially because I live alone and my siblings are all married and they have their own families. But God knows exactly what he was doing. He allowed these things to happen so I would fully and wholeheartedly fall in love with him first, for him to be the lover of my soul. In my 8 years of being single, God has used that time to expand my borders in serving him. I remember praying what was written in Isaiah 6, verse 8. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, Lord, send me.' True enough, God placed me in a small group where all the members are married to let me see the reality of married life. God also entrusted me ladies to disciple and pour my life into. He also called me to serve in the youth ministry, to speak to women, both single and married, and to minister to my mom. That led to her getting baptized in the process. I had fallen in love with Jesus so much that I have enjoyed serving him to the point that I'm okay to be single for the rest of my life. But God has a different plan, and His plans are way better than mine.
During that season of serving my family in ministry, there were times when searching for God's best became challenging. But God was still working in me. Though I came across some single women, my heart was still very much reliant on God's leading. It was not easy, but I knew that following the Lord was the right thing to do. A few months went by, and in October 2022, my brother got married. I was the best man, and my friend Venus was one of the hosts. I mentioned her as a friend because we had already known each other since 2018. However, we were only acquaintances back then. It was only during my brother's wedding where we were able to connect in a very meaningful way. Her openness and honesty in our conversations was what drew me even closer to her. She was engaging, expressive, and even blunt at times. She also made it a point to let me know that she had devoted her heart to loving and serving God, which I clearly saw.
When North and I reconnected and he asked questions that I did not expect, I had peace in my heart to engage in conversations with him. For the first time, I was not afraid to open my heart again. I enjoyed our conversations day after day.
When I began to develop romantic feelings for Venus, I immediately doubled down on my prayers. And I even went to seek advice from my father. On November 13, 2022, I visited her here in Manila, to which I immediately told her my intentions to pursue her. She said yes. A month later, we officially became a couple, and 7 months after that, I proposed to her on her birthday. And 5 days ago, December 12, 2023, we got married.
Praise God. It was easy to say yes to North because I have talked to God a lot about him even before he asked me to marry him. I saw how my simple prayers to God were answered, like, I want to be with someone who loves the Lord, has a good relationship with his parents, someone whom my family can easily connect to, and will not look down at us, my mom and my family's simple lifestyle.
In our journey of waiting, pruning, and hoping, we have realized many things. That I needed to develop my intimacy with God first before I get intimate with someone else.
God wanted my heart first before He gives it to others.
I needed to learn Christ-likeness to be able to lead the woman that God will entrust to me.
And even if I'm already married, my heart still belongs to Christ and is still and will continue to be, He still and will continue to be the lover of my soul.
My name is North, and this is my wife, Venus, and together we will continue to serve the Lord in this new chapter of our lives.
To God be all the glory and honor and praise.
Thank you.
Praise God. I did not swallow a frog. I just have a hoarse voice. Let's pray for North and Venus, newlyweds on their honeymoon, but they're here with us to share God's faithfulness in their life. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for North, for Venus. I thank you for Edmund and Diana, their disciples who were with us earlier this morning. We thank you, Lord, that through their lives, you've shown us what it looks like to wait on you. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness in making them the kind of persons that you want them to be as singles. And so, Lord, now as a married couple, we pray that your hand of blessing would be upon them, that you would use them more mightily as a married couple than you have been using them as singles. We pray for their future, Lord, that you would bless them with children. We pray that you would protect their marriage and use their marriage to be a blessing, not just to each other, but to this entire world. We commit to you this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's again appreciate North and Venus. So, God sustained me the first service. I'm trusting Him to sustain me this service. How many of you don't like to wait? Raise your hand. You don't like to wait. Okay. I think if we're honest, most of us don't like to wait. How many of you are waiting for something or someone today? You're waiting for something. Okay, maybe like North and Venus, maybe you're waiting, you want to get married. Maybe you're married already, and you're waiting to have a baby. You know, I had a teammate for 10 years. He didn't have any kids. And he started joining the Bible study during the pandemic. We prayed for him. I'm not saying you join a Bible study and you're going to get pregnant. I'm not saying that. But this year he gave birth to a baby boy. Praise God, 10 years of waiting. Some of us, maybe we're waiting for our careers or our businesses to turn around. Or maybe some of us, you're waiting for, you're an athlete and you so desire to excel. You want to become a champion one day and you're waiting for that. Or maybe you're injured or you're sick and you're waiting to get well. Or maybe you're in a relationship and the relationship's very tough. Could be a family member, could be a spouse, and you're waiting for God to change your spouse or your family member. The reality is we're all waiting. And what does Christmas have to do with waiting? We continue our series, A Sure Hope, How Christmas Shines Through Darkness. I'll tell you how. You remember the story of Joseph and Mary? Yes? Pastor Ricky preached that message about how an angel appeared to Mary. We know that story. Last week, we heard the story of who? Zacharias and Elizabeth. You remember that story, right? The shepherds. Do you know that story? How the angels appeared to the shepherds? The wise men? Yes, you know the story? Today, we're going to look at two people that are part of the Christmas story, but many times get overlooked. Simeon and Anna. And we're going to look at their lives, what they said about this baby that was born 2,000 years ago. You see, the main thought for today's message is this. Jesus, say it with me, Jesus is our sure hope. We can wait on him. The reason why we can wait, and we'll look at Simeon and Anna and how they waited, is because Jesus is our sure hope. Now, I don't know if Jesus is your sure hope, but I pray by the end of this afternoon, Jesus will be your sure hope. Last week, our memory verse was Romans 15, verse 13. And I want to read it for you, but then I want to pray it with you and for you for today. Let's read it together. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. You know, sometimes I lack faith. And so I'm going to pray for us that God would give us faith to believe. When we believe, he gives us joy and peace, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you like that prayer? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of hope. And we now ask you to fill us with all joy and peace in believing in you, so that we will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray this for all of us in this room and for everyone else that is watching this online. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So let's get to the story. Luke chapter 2. By the way, are you okay? Can you hear me? So don't feel bad for me. I'm okay. My throat only hurts when I swallow. So don't feel bad for me. If you can understand me, praise God. That's the Holy Spirit. So let's track along. Luke chapter 2 and verses 21 to 24 is actually, could be an entire message in itself. But I'm not going to spend so much time here because we want to get to who? Simeon and Anna. But you need to understand the context. So let's read. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And you can read it with me so you can help me. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. From this verse, we understand that Joseph and Mary, it says Joseph was a righteous man, right? You remember that. And Joseph and Mary kept to the law. Part of Jewish law is you circumcise your child, if they're a male, on the 8th day. And there's a lot of meaning to circumcision, but I'm not going to go through all the details. But the point is, they went to the temple to circumcise who? Jesus. And typically, a Jewish family won't name their child until the 8th day. How many of you weren't 100% sure what to name your baby when your baby was born? Can I see your hands? Okay. And my family's over there. My wife and I, for all our kids, we had like a list of names, but we weren't sure what to call them until we saw, oh, this guy. Oh, he looks strong. He's got a big chest. Oh, I'll name him Caleb, which means warrior. You know, names are very important. And in this case, Mary and Joseph knew exactly what to name the baby. How come? Because the angel had told them. And what was the name they called the baby? Jesus. What does Jesus mean? Anybody, what does Jesus mean? It means Yahweh saves. Say that with me. Yahweh saves. God saves. The reason why Christmas is so meaningful is because even in the name of Jesus, we see the heart of God. God saves. That's the name of Jesus. And we keep reading in the story. And I want you to notice from 22 to 24, and even the last verse, that the last two verses that Pastor Eric read, verse 39, it says, they kept everything according to the law. You see that? According to the law, written in the law, in the law. What did they do? What were they doing? When the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. If you were a Jewish woman and you gave birth to a boy, you were ceremonially unclean for 40 days. And then they would go through the ceremony of being clean. So after 40 days, they went back to the temple to present. If you're the firstborn in a Jewish family, and you're not a Levite, just like Hannah dedicated Samuel, they have the practice of dedicating your baby, and that's what Joseph and Mary did. They followed the law. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law. If you look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he says, do not think that I came to, read with me, abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to what? To fulfill. You see, Joseph and Mary were fulfilling everything required by the law. And the reason why Jesus is our hope, read this verse. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until what? All is accomplished. Say that with me. All is accomplished. God has given us his word. And Jesus says, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And everything written in his word will be accomplished. That's why we can have hope. Jesus is our hope. Look at Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time came, at just the right time, and when Jesus came, the Roman Empire was in control. It was a time of peace. There were roads. There was communication. There was language, the Greek language. Jesus came at just the right time, and God orchestrated it. At the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. Jesus came for the Jews under the law, but then also for us under the law of what? Sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? One, I will always give in to sin. I am a slave of sin. Two, because I'm a slave of sin, and when I sin, I have to pay the consequence of that sin, which is death, eternal separation from God. But God said, in the fullness of time, I sent forth my Son to set us free from that law. And I want you to pick up something in this verse in Luke chapter 2. It's so touching for me. Let's read it. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. Read it with me. A pair of turtle doves, or what? Or two young pigeons. You know, if you go to the book of Leviticus and you look at what the law says, it says you're to offer a lamb. A lamb. A tupa. Just in case you can't understand what I'm saying. Bah. That's actually good with a hoarse voice. A lamb. But it says, if you cannot afford a lamb, then you can offer a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Jesus' family could not afford a lamb. There's a verse in the book of Corinthians, and I'm going to read it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, was He rich? He's the King of Kings. He created this world. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. You see, sometimes we think of what Jesus did, and we're like, yes, He became from a God to a human being. He humbled Himself. But as I read this verse, it reminds me, Jesus was born in a manger. He was born in a poor family, the King of Kings. And He became poor so that we can become rich in Him. Eternal life. And it just touches my heart. And it encourages me and comforts me. Because it is a difficult time in our world. A lot of people are struggling. And sometimes people feel, oh, Jesus is not for me. He only came for the rich. No, Jesus came for everyone. For the poor. For the rich. He came for everyone. And let's keep reading. Jesus is what? Our sure hope. What does Jesus mean? Yahweh saves. And He has fulfilled everything. All the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus, He fulfilled them. And we read, He will fulfill the other promises written in His book. And because He is our hope, we can now copy what Simeon and Anna were like. And three things I want you to think about when you think of waiting. Number one, you wait with hopeful anticipation. Number two, wait with joyful perseverance. And number three, wait with grateful service. Now we get Simeon. And there was a man, verse 25. We don't know much about this man. In Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. For those of you who are pregnant and you have a baby boy, this is an amazing name. What does Simeon mean? My nephew is named Simeon. Simeon means he who hears. It can also be interpreted, God hears. And what was Simeon like? He says this man was what? righteous. What made him righteous? Was it because he kept all the law? In the Old Testament, what made a man righteous? You remember in Galatians, it says, Abraham believed in God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It is God that makes us righteous. It is the faith of Abraham that made him righteous. Today, if you believe in Jesus, God says, that makes you righteous. Your sins are forgiven. God makes us righteous. Simeon was one of those men that believed in the Bible. You see, the Jews, they've had the Old Testament ever since. But only a few of them really believed it. How do we know that? You know, when they were waiting for Pentecost, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them in Acts, how many of them were in the room? 120. That's only a few people. All throughout the Jewish history, there's really not that many people that really believe in God's word. Simeon was one of them. He believed. He was not only righteous in God's eyes, he was what? Devout, committed. He was faithful. And what was he looking for? Looking for, this word could also mean waiting. Looking for the, read this with me, consolation of Israel. What is the consolation of Israel? It is the comforter of Israel. Remember, they were oppressed. But they know in the book of Isaiah that there is a coming Messiah. The consolation of Israel is the Menachem, the Messiah. And Simeon was waiting, looking for that Messiah. In fact, if you keep reading, it says the Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise. Simeon received a special promise that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. I want you to imagine you were Simeon and you heard that promise from the Holy Spirit. Maybe today you're thinking, what should I do today? Maybe I'm going to try to fly because I'm not going to die. I have not yet seen the Messiah. It's actually a pretty phenomenal promise if you think about it. But Simeon, I'm just giving an example that I'm sure he wasn't thinking that. But the fact is, it was an amazing promise. And he believed it. He had faith in the promise that was given to him. Now let's keep reading. Jesus is our sure hope. How do we wait? Read with me. Wait with hopeful anticipation. What does it mean? What does it mean to have hopeful anticipation? Last week, we learned from Pastor Peter. Can you read this with me? Hope is a certainty and assurance of expectations based on faith in what? In God's character and God's promises. If Jesus is our hope, can we wait with hopeful anticipation? What are you waiting for today? What is your attitude as you wait? You know, Joseph and Mary were very obedient. They obeyed the law. Simeon, he was excited. I don't know how many times he went to that temple waiting, but he was anticipating. You know, to have hopeful anticipation, you're not just becoming gloomy and sad waiting. You know that God is doing something. You may not have heard a specific promise from the Holy Spirit, but we have more revelation today about who God is, His character, and His promises, which are for you and for me, that we can hold on to. You can hope, you can wait with hopeful anticipation. Isaiah tells us in chapter 40, verse 31, read with me, yet those who wait for the Lord will what? Will gain new strength. Are you tired? Have you been going on your own battery? Wait on the Lord. You will not only gain new strength, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and what? Not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This is one of the promises I hold on to. Lord, I want to wait for you. What does that mean? That means you're trying to listen to what God wants you to do. There are so many voices out there. Like Venus said, so many distractions. But we want to hear God's voice. Don't make decisions when you are too happy. Remember? Remember Herod? He was so happy. He said, whatever you want, I'll do. And they said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Or Jephthah, who was so happy, he said, whatever enters that door, I'm going to offer it as a sacrifice. And it was his daughter. Don't make decisions when you're too hungry. Right? Esau, gutom na gutom. Maybe you're hungry now. It's lunchtime. And sometimes he sold his birthright when he was hungry. Right? Don't make decisions when you're angry. When you're too tired. I remember somebody, he told me, I want to quit my job. I'm like, why? My boss. I got a new boss. He's a foreigner. And he doesn't appreciate what I do. He doesn't see what I do. And he was ready to quit. We were at a sports camp. And I said, brother, don't quit now. You're going to make a mistake. You're angry. You're tired. You need to forgive him. Forgive your boss. That was 2 months ago. Last. Louis, was it Wednesday? Wednesday, we had our sports ministry Christmas party. I saw the same guy. He said, guess what? I'm like, what? He's like, I did what you said. And everything changed. My boss loves me. He gave me more work. Don't make decisions when there's so much noise. Wait with hopeful anticipation. Wait for God's word. Simeon came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God. What happened here? In the spirit, how important is that in the Christian life? It is the most important part of your Christian life. After receiving Jesus, he promised to give you the Holy Spirit. How many of you have heard the Holy Spirit speak to you in your voice or in your mind to speak to somebody or go visit somebody or to do something? Can you raise your hand? I pray all of you will raise your hand because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He speaks to us, maybe not in an audible voice, but I cannot tell you how many times the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and my wife to go visit this person in the hospital or go call this friend or go talk to this person or ask that person over there or go back to the restaurant and talk to that waiter. And every moment that I listen to the Holy Spirit is a divine appointment. And God speaks to you also. He spoke to Simeon. And how did Simeon know? It says here, when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought the child, Jesus, to carry out for him the custom of the law, how did Simeon know? Was there a halo on the head of baby Jesus? Imagine Mary carrying Jesus and, you know, like a halo? I don't think so. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to Simeon. That's the Menachem, the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, the one you're waiting for. And so I'm sure Simeon, you know, and I want you to imagine, the temple at that time is very busy. It was a tourist spot. It was one of the seven wonders of the world. So many people, some of them really believe in God, but most of them didn't believe in God. They just wanted to see. But they were there And how did they run into each other? It is the Spirit of God. And so when Simeon talked to Mary and said, you know, I had this promise from the Holy Spirit that I'm going to see the Messiah and that this baby is the Messiah. I'm sure Mary started recounting her own story. Wow, an angel appeared to me and told me that I was going to get pregnant, and I did. I got pregnant through the Holy Spirit. I gave birth to this baby, and then Elizabeth, and then the angels, they all came, and she's recounting the story, and it was confirmed in the heart of Simeon. This is the Messiah. So he picks up the baby, and he says, it says he blessed God. And what did he say? He sang a song. Now, Lord, in Latin, means nunc dimittis. Mary sang a song. Zechariah sang a song. Simeon is singing a song. What did Simeon say? First, he said, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. What is he saying? Lord, permission to die. I'm ready to die. Simeon was an older man. You know what I love about the story? If you look at Simeon and Anna, they were not like your typical important characters in the Bible. But God kept his promise to them. And that comforts me because God keeps his promise to you and to me also. Simeon, he says, I'm ready to die. Why? He says, according to your word, for my eyes have seen, read this with me, your salvation. Whose salvation? God's salvation. He blessed God. He says, your salvation. You know, in our country, God is known as what? A judge. He's kind of strict, right, in our minds. Jesus, love, gracious. And then Mary, she's a woman. I can talk to her more. But we know Jesus says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. So you need to talk to God, you go through Jesus. But I want you to know something. It is God who orchestrated our salvation. It is God. It is He. We have a God who is so loving. And it blows my mind that from the beginning of time, God made a way for us to be saved. Simeon said, I have seen your salvation, God, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples. And he says something out of the book of Isaiah. And this is how we know that Simeon knew Scripture and believed in it. He said, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The word light and glory are interchangeable. Yes, we understand that the Jews were waiting for their Messiah. But in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says that Jesus would not just be the Savior of the Jews, but a light to the Gentiles. Look at this verse in Isaiah 49. Read it with me. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I, read it with me, will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. You see that? And there's so many more verses about Jesus being the light, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for you and I. Joseph and Mary were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Why is Jesus our hope? Why is Jesus our sure hope? Because he is our Messiah. He has kept his promise, and he will continue to keep his promise. Let's keep reading. Simeon, OK, Can you read with me? By the way, when I ask you to read, it does two things for me. One, I don't have to strain my voice so much. And two, it tells me you're actually still awake. So it comforts me. But Jesus is my comforter. He's the consolation of Israel. So let's read together. Verse 34. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel." Let's stop right there. What is Jesus saying? What is Simeon saying about this Jesus? Appointed. God, at the fullness of time, but he had appointed that Jesus would be the one that would save us. But when Jesus came, it says, for the fall and rise of many in Israel. You see, when Jesus came, the line was drawn. Jesus came and people were separated. Either you believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus. You see, there were two prostitutes in an Uber car in the United States, and they were being driven by the Uber driver to service some clientele in the same place. The Uber driver, filled with the Spirit, shared the gospel, talked about sin, talked about Jesus and what Jesus does, how Jesus came to forgive us of all our sins, and in Jesus, gives us a fresh start. You know, the one prostitute got off at the right at the location and still went to service the client. The other prostitute had given her life to Jesus in that car. And she said, "I'm not getting off." And the driver drove her to a church. And I'm not sure what happened afterwards, but she had made a decision to receive Jesus. And it changed her life. You see, when Jesus came, a separation. Some will rise. Those who believe in Jesus, the Bible says, have eternal life. Some will fall. If you don't have Jesus, there's no other way of salvation. There's no religion. There's no church. Just because you come to this church doesn't mean you're going to be saved. You need Jesus in your life. Rise and fall. Not only that, it says here, for a sign to be opposed, there would be opposition. There would be an opposition. Simeon was reminding Mary of the reality, but she was hearing it for the first time. And I'm reminding you of this reality. When you follow Jesus, you will be separate. There will be opposition. Not only that, a sword will pierce even your own soul. Read that with me. A sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It says Mary was very reflective as a young lady, right? How old was Mary? Teenager, we don't know how old. Some say 14 years old. And so hearing this from Simeon, what does it mean that my own soul will be pierced? I believe it prepared her for what she was going to experience. Imagine your own child, not just your own child, but the perfect child, Jesus. And you've taken care of this baby boy. He's grown up to be an amazing man. And he's the savior of the world. And now you see him on the cross. The greatest injustice that has ever happened in our world happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus, the perfect man, died on the cross for our sin. It pierced her soul. It doesn't say that her husband was there, remember, at the foot of the cross? And scholars believe her husband had died early. What's my point? My point is this: as we wait, Jesus is our hope. But we need to wait with joyful perseverance, because there are going to be trials. There are going to be challenges. Mary experienced it. You may be experiencing it right now. This was a tough year for many of you, right? Of course, a lot of great things happened. North and Venus got married. People gave birth to babies. But some of you lost loved ones. In our own company, two people died this year. And many people lost their parents. But I'm reminded, we can persevere in joy. In fact, look at what James tells us. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Nobody likes trials. Nobody likes waiting. But when you're waiting and your hope is in Jesus, Venus said, God used the 8 years to help shape her heart to fully love him first and foremost. And even now, as a married woman, and even North as a married man, they're committed to love the Lord more than each other. God does something in your trial. I like what Alistair Begg said. He's a Scottish preacher. He said, the deliverance the people desired, read this with me, was not the deliverance the people required. Again, the deliverance the people desired was not the deliverance the people required. The Jews were hoping for their Messiah to set them free from the Roman oppression. That's why on Palm Sunday, they're all worshiping God. This is our Messiah. He's going to set us free. Then all of a sudden, things change. And they're like, wait, is this our Messiah? Can't be. How come? What? Can't be. And all of a sudden, now they're shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! They wanted a Messiah to deliver them from what they were going through. But what they really needed, what the world needed, was a Messiah to set us free from our sin, from the slavery that we all experience because of sin. You know, there are many things I prayed for this year. Many of them didn't turn out the way that I had wanted them to be. But my hope is in Jesus. And I'm reminding, maybe the deliverance I so desired or so desire is not the deliverance I require. So Lord, do your work in my heart. You are the greatest blessing. More than these things that I'm waiting for, I can be joyful. You know, Job, he went through a lot. Yes, lost everything. And his friends were giving him advice, and he was just feeling so down in Job chapter 19. So down. But look at how he ends, 25. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. You know, in Christ, you can have joy even in death, because you know your Redeemer lives. Those of you who lost loved ones that have a relationship with the Lord, you know they're in a better place. Job was able to look towards eternity. We need to be able to do that, to persevere with joy. There's no other way. We also need to be able to look back and look at what Jesus himself went through. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has what? Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you feel like you can't go on, look back and remember, Jesus went through even worse. And he promised to never leave you or forsake you. Lord, you promised to cause all things to work together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. I don't see what you're doing now, but I trust you. I'm going to wait with hopeful anticipation. I'm going to wait with joyful perseverance, because like Jenny's grandfather always reminded us, as he got older, he lived to 100 years old, he'd always tell us, the best is yet to come. And that's true for those of you who have a sure hope in Jesus Christ. The best is yet to come. Now we go to Anna. Who was Anna? There was a prophetess. Not many prophetesses in the Bible. Miriam was a prophet. Deborah was a prophet. There's a woman in Isaiah. We don't know who she is. And Huldah was a prophet. But Anna, being a prophet, I'm sure she also loved the Lord. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. In the past, you could trace the lineage of every Jew. But when the temple was burned in 70 AD, all the records were gone. I think that's actually a blessing, because you know how people are. They attach special meaning to people from certain lineage. But there, they still knew who this woman was from. What do we know about her? By the way, if you don't have a name for a daughter, what does Anna mean? It means grace. Beautiful name. It can also mean beauty. Our daughter's name is Alana, a derivative of Anna. Anyway, Anna, she was what? Advanced in years. Could you guys hear me at the back? Thumbs up. You can? Good. I'm glad that you're still awake. She was what? Advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Assuming she got married at the age of 14, how old was she when she lost her husband? 21. Now, how we read the next verse tells us how old she is. And then as a widow to the age of 84. So either she's 84 years old or she's 105 years old. Maybe she was a widow for 84 years. But it doesn't change the meaning. What's the point? She was advanced in years. I don't say old. Maybe there's some 80-year-olds here. You're still young. Because from Anna, we learn you're never too old. From Mary, we learn you're never too young to serve the Lord. Look at Anna's heart. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. We can hope. We can wait with grateful service. Anna never left the temple. Some of us, after COVID, never came back to church face to face. We fell in love with online. So all you watching online, I love you guys. Hey, we love you. And I praise God for online because it gives us the privilege to be able to worship anywhere we are. And sometimes we're sick. We can't come. Sometimes it's just a very busy day and that's fine. We understand, right? But one of my disciples asked me, why should I go to church face to face? What's the difference? Fair question. Fair question. What would you answer? Tell me right now. Why should I go face to face? What's the difference? Fellowship. What else? That's it? What else? Well, God tells us to continue to meet even as we see the day approaching nearer, right? Because there's a tendency to stop meeting. For me, focus. Sometimes I'm worshiping online, but I'm eating breakfast, right? My focus is distracted. What else? Yes. Oh no, just shout it out. You don't have time to come up here. Because Pastor Peter said so? That's all I heard. I'll give you one of the reasons that entered my mind as I was thinking about that question. I love basketball. And somebody offered me tickets to the FIBA basketball game. And I was imagining that person who offered me tickets, if they said, hey, you have the option. You can go face to face or you can watch online. What would I choose? 100% of the time, I would always choose face to face if I could go. Because it is just different. I don't know about you, when you were singing here this morning or this afternoon, did you feel God's presence? Yes. Let's praise God for our worship team. We praise God for you guys. This is awesome worship. It's just different. And I started thinking, wait a second, this is not some concert. This is not some basketball game. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And is it more convenient to worship at home? Of course it is. That's why it's nice. My kids sometimes will tell me, Dad, please, let's worship at home. And sometimes we do. And I'm not being legalistic, but I want my children to also know that I'm worshiping the King of Kings. And I want to make time for the King of Kings. It's okay to be inconvenienced because he's the King of Kings. So, again, everybody watching online, I love you guys. I'm just sharing from my heart, right? And I know that it's a blessing because we can't always be here. But the times that we can be here, I pray like Anna. Not that you're going to live here, okay? There's no space for you here. You can't be here all the time. But Anna never left the temple. When she became a widow, she started committing her life to the Lord in prayer. That's one of the best ways we can serve the Lord. And what else? Giving thanks. And that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. What's the message today? Jesus is our sure hope. Wait with hopeful anticipation. Wait with joyful perseverance. And wait with grateful service. 2023 is about to end. I don't know how you lived your life this year, but I'm so blessed by Anna's life that she lived her life with grateful service. And not only that, look, she continued to speak of him. Christmas is coming up fast. You have many opportunities to talk about the King of Kings, our Savior, God, salvation. He made the way. You know, how many of you watched the movie, and I'll end with a story, Jesus Revolution? You watched it? I think it's on Netflix, but it's about the hippie movement and Pastor Chuck Smith. And I want to read you the quote of Lonnie Frisbee. He was a hippie, and he was talking to the pastor about the hippies. This is what he said. He said, "There is an entire generation right now searching for God. I know we must seem a little strange," he's saying about the hippies, "but if you look a little deeper, if you look with love, you'll see a bunch of kids that are searching for all the right things, just in all the wrong places. We have a world out there that is looking for the right things. They just don't know where to look. They just don't know who the answer is. But you know the answer. God has revealed it to us in his word. He has shown us that he is faithful. Jesus is our Messiah. If ever there was a cure for cancer, and one of our employees died of cancer this year, one of our good friends' daughter died of cancer. If you had the cure, I'm sure you would tell everybody about that cure. We have a greater cure than cancer. We have a cure to what is killing the world. Jesus is the cure. He's not only the cure. He is the only person that will ever fulfill that hunger that you and I have for the things that this world has to offer, that can never really fulfill that hunger. Simeon knew that. Anna knew that. And that's why they lived a life of grateful service. I don't know where you're at, but you can surely serve God wherever he's placed you, in your school, in your company, in your home. What's the message today? Jesus is our sure hope. We can wait on him. Last verse. This is our memory verse. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. Are you ready to die today? Are you? Simeon was. Why? Because he had seen, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus came and he divided the world. Those who believe in Jesus, those who don't believe in Jesus. You have to make a decision. You cannot stand in the middle. You can't say, I'm a little bit of both. You either believe in Jesus or you don't. The moment you give your life to Jesus, you can be like Simeon. Lord, I'm ready. I can go. Jesus is our salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Simeon and Anna. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our hope. We can wait on you. Father, you know what we're going through. You know the challenges we're facing. We also know your promises. Help us to wait with hopeful anticipation. Help us to wait with joyful perseverance. And help us, Lord, to wait with grateful service. You alone are worthy of our lives. And Father, for those of us who have not yet believed in you, we hear clearly today that that baby born 2,000 years ago was not just an ordinary baby. That was Yeshua. That was Yahweh who saves. And maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. And I pray that you would believe in Jesus today as we began in prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Give us the faith to believe in you. If you're that person, I want you to pray with me that expression of faith in Jesus. Father God, thank you for being the author of our salvation. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I admit that I have sinned against you, and I admit that I need a Savior. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life. I believe in you, Jesus. I receive you into my heart. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for your promise of eternal life. Please make me into the kind of person you want me to be. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, all of us here watching online. Help us, Lord, to be like Anna, to tell everybody about who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good day, CCF family. Welcome to Sunday Fast Track, where you ask real-life questions and we give you biblical truths. My name is Francella Barte from the CCF Sports Ministry, and we're here today with our speaker, Paul Tanchi, to answer some of your questions. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. Hi, friend.
Thank you for the message a while ago. It's so great. Are you ready to answer the questions?
Yes.
Okay, one of the things we learned from the message today is that we are to wait with hopeful anticipation. With that being said, is it okay for our request to God to be detailed and specific about what we want to have or to happen?
Yes, of course, you know, because, you know, God, He really so desires us to speak from our heart and to have that conversation with Him, because He says He's our Father. And, you know, I would just say, when you come to God with all those details, always come before Him open-handed also. Mm-hmm. You can say, Lord, this is what I think is best for the situation. These are the things that I think would make sense if they were to pan out. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Lord, just like what Jesus said in Gethsemane, your will be done. And I think when you pray that way, you pray in faith, but then you also know that what you're asking for may not be what's really best for you. So you trust that God will give you what He knows is best.
Wow, thank you for that answer. And truly, we can just be open-handed to the Lord. So thank you, Paul, for answering the questions. But before we go, next week It's Christmas weekend, and it's a great opportunity to celebrate together with your friends and family the reason for the season. That's on Saturday at 5 p.m. for our SNS, and Sunday, 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. We have a surprise in store for you, so be sure to be there. And that's it for our CCF Sunday Fast Track. Merry Christmas, and see you next week!